Now, on the last podcast, I was talking about I had to do a gig on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right. It's a wedding.
The wedding for Dan and Heather, who are around my age, 23.
And it wasn't their first, was it?
Oh, one of them, yeah. One had been married before, in their 50s. Anyway, it was good fun. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good fun. Biggest laugh of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Heather works at the local council and Dan works for Telstra. So I said, oh, we've got something in common. You both do fuck all.
Big laugh.
A bit of a, ooh.
Did you have the meal?
No, I didn't have the meal.
What was the meal?
Oh, they had seafood.
Was that pretty?
Then they had entree.
Because remember that reception centres used to be really...
Oh, chicken or beef?
Yeah.
Oh, these days, yeah.
So where were they?
This
a restaurant?
A proper restaurant.
Oh, okay. So the reception centre, you just don't see them much anymore. Or do you?
No.
In the burbs, maybe.
They're out there. Yeah, they're out there.
So you could turn up and you could get married.
Chicken or beef.
Go into that room over there. They bring a band in. Have a little dance floor. It was sort of a one-stop shop. Because nowadays you go to the church. Then if you want to go to the photo.
Oh, there's also a couple of hours in between where they get their photos done.
Is there anything more boring than that?
God, then you've got to go to the reception.
Here's my tip.
Yeah.
Don't go to the church. Just say
you were.
You
got caught out not going to the church.
I did get caught out.
Reported on radio by someone who wasn't there.
Ed Cavalier's wedding. Yeah, I didn't. Well, I couldn't because Selena was working, but I didn't want to sort of say that. And she couldn't get back, and we couldn't. By the time we're going to get there, it was going to be too late. And then, like you did, you came in late to Hughes's wedding
because we were reporting the Herald Sun. Yes. Reporting the Herald Sun.
You walk across the back of the moment, right around the back.
Just get out. Just, mate, just come on.
Anyway, so it went over okay.
It was good.
And you went home before 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I was well and truly
home. Oh, you just did 20?
Half an hour, yeah. Half an hour of stand-up.
Your material is like hand in glove, perfect.
Yeah, I talked to the crowd a lot. There was another good moment where she tipped me into the fact that there was another guy. She'd heard me talk about my twin brother before.
Yeah.
There was another guy who had a twin, an identical twin. He's in printing, and she said that his twin is a little bit more successful than he is. They're both in the printing business.
Right.
So I said, I talk about my twin brother. I go, has anyone else got a twin brother here?
Yeah.
Silence. And then she's like, that's him. It's Gary over there. Gary. I'm like, oh, Gary. So you're both in printing? I said, oh, yeah. What? Who's more successful? Oh, I am. I said, really? What sort of car do you drive, Gary? A Statesman. And I go, what does he drive? Silence. And then his wife goes, a Mercedes. Yeah. It's like, hey. That got a huge laugh. The wife bloody dobbed him in.
Oh, that's a very clever way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought of that on the spot. I mean, how else is a sign of wealth? Often it's where you live.
Suburb, yeah.
Suburb and job, but they both had the same job. And I knew he lived on the... I knew she told me the twin brother lived on the Gold Coast.
So there was a time you could do it with what sort of watch you wear.
Oh, yes.
Seiko.
Not anymore. No one wears watches. No one wears what phone you have, that's no indicator.
No.
I think these days, job, where you live...
Do you get your hair cut at a barber or a proper hairdresser?
Yeah.
Member of golf club.
Oh, member of golf. Sporting stuff is a good sign of wealth as well.
Member of the MCG or one of the in anything with royal in it.
Well, I did the Adelaide property group last year, the year before. Their Christmas party, huge, like 800 of them, and they're all, as the guy said, mate, all these guys are bad word, absolute, because they're all property developers, real estate agents. And they all think they're better than each other, and they're all like self-made men.
Yeah.
They'd all be golfers too.
Chesty.
And so I did this thing where I got them all to stand up, which I've done before, and I said, we're going to find out who the wealthiest person is.
Sitting down.
Sit down if you rent a house.
Yeah, great.
If you sit down. Sit down if you only own one house.
Oh, that's good.
Sit down if you only own two houses. Sit down if you don't have a gardener or a cleaner. So this bloke sits down, he goes, I do my own gardening! Like yelling, getting really angry. I do my own gardening, I'm proud of it, I do my own gardening! Like, yeah, all right, mate. Okay, and then it got down to I said, sit down if you've never been to Europe. I go to Asia, mate, what's wrong with Asia? And then sit down if you go to local holidays, I said Robe or something like that, Adelaide holiday places. A few people sat down, and then I was down to...
What was your final?
Sit down. I got down to about three blokes after saying,
Were you making this up as you were going along?
I worked it out
right.
But I tell you, you have to think on your feet, Glenn.
Yes.
And I said, sit down. Okay, if you own only four properties or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I was left with three men standing up.
Yeah.
And I said, sit down if you don't own either a plane or a boat. two guys sit down, one guy's left standing. And so he comes up to get the prize. I go, so what do you own? He goes, oh, I own both. He owned a plane and a boat.
He would have loved it. What's that great joke that the American comedian does? You know, if you're lower class, if you've got your name on your shirt. You know, if you're middle class, if you've got your name on your desk. And you know you're upper class if you've got the name on the building.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Who was it, that American guy?
That's a great observation.
Yeah, yeah.
And who else did the stand-up about, you know, you're not in a great job when your shirt matches the building. Yeah. Bunnings or you're not in a great, anyway.
Oh, we play the music.
Yeah, here comes the music. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Here we are again.
You know, hopefully people
telling their friends.
Yep.
It's a great concept.
Maybe we should do another. Could we get good response to the live one? Maybe we should do another live one at some point.
We are going to Canberra
to do a live version.
Yeah, in March.
Okay,
as part of their comedy.
Better
festival.
Send me the dates just in case.
And we're going to do Byron again, I think, too.
Oh,
we're doing Byron again.
To be stood up by the Hemsworths again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh well, one of the Hemsworths.
Hey, Liam was there. And,
yeah, Liam was. He was a nice guy.
But also, if you're on Facebook, join our Facebook group. We've been getting a great...
Have we?
Well, you're not on Facebook,
I don't know
so...
how to use it.
Oh, Facebook's easy. It's for, as my son would say, Dad, Facebook is for old people. And it does. It really hit the middle age. But a guy posted about a twisty... Look, someone's posted a photo of Fonzie's.
Because we did Twisties and Animal Feed, I think, or a couple of weeks ago.
Some guy posted that he used to work in the Twisty factory.
This
is incredible. Like as I said, I put a comment saying, like, it's a deep throat from the snack industry. You know, this guy was very...
It's a wonder that he gave his name.
I know. It's like, man, he is really... This is incredible that he worked.
And what did he tell us? What did we learn?
Let me read it out. Hang on a sec. If I can just find it on my phone, which is going to... I've got my son's phone at the moment because my phone's getting fixed. And so...
What's your son got?
No, he's just... Plugged it into an old... Look, Paul Stewart has put in different flavours of chips. We've really... Lasagna. This is in Thailand. You get lasagna chips.
Oh, lasagna chips. You would love lasagna chips.
Lamington chips someone's put on, which are disgusting.
Yeah, that would be.
Okay, here we go. This is from Graham Gleason. I used to work at Smith's, and there is nothing better than a hot cheese twisty straight out of the flavour barrel.
Oh,
basically hot oil and flavour. One of the guys there was trying to give up smoking and put on lots of kilos
because
from
the
conveyor belt.
He would just go and just have one.
Here we go, a bit of inside information. For the record, the twisties are extruded, then baked in an oven before the oil magic happens. Love the pod. There we go. How's that?
That's an interesting world where if you can ever taste where you eat.
Jacob has commented, more chip stories, please. I think I've finally met Willy Wonka.
Because you would imagine that you would be repulsed by them.
After a while, you can't. Yeah, if you work in a chocolate factory or a twisty factory.
Yeah, the smell you would associate with hard labour.
I worked in a hot dog shop in the 80s, Electro Hot Dogs. And first night, I ate like three or four hot dogs. Second night, two. I reckon by 6 months, I couldn't eat any more hot dogs. Even to this day, I still
flashback to the war years.
Hot dogs. That was where the great situation happened, where the guy sacked me because he said... Dudley Kane, his name was. He owned the hot dog. He's a very wealthy man. He used to rock up in a Jaguar and get the rolls out of his boot.
I don't know whether he was that wealthy. I think you could have sorted him out with a sit-down if.
Yes. Yeah, we should have done the, do you own a plane or a boat, Dudley? And he would get his hot dog. And he sacked me because he claimed that I was selling the hot. He would count the rolls every day and then match it against the till.
He didn't have much of a life.
And he said, you have got a lot of missing rolls. You are selling them to an opposition hot dog shop. I know you are.
But he was paranoid. He's had a bad experience in some time.
I was just eating them. That was the truth.
Were you eating what, the plain rolls?
Yeah. No, with hot dogs in them.
He wasn't counting his hot dogs. I'd be counting the hot dogs.
He wasn't concerned about the saveloy. He was only concerned about the rolls.
Let me ask you this. Hot dog on spike, correct?
Yep.
Sauce first or sauce second?
No, sauce first.
Sauce first. So that means you only get sauce up the one end.
Hmm.
And you put the sausage in and you pull it in and out a bit to get the sauce moving around?
Look, some people would ask for sauce on top as well. You're more experienced.
There you go.
You're more experienced.
And would you put it on top of the? Would you put it neck down next to the sausage? Would you poke it down the
stick
side?
Stick it down the side a bit.
We didn't stick it inside the sausage, would you?
Met a lot of girls in that hot dog shop. My brother met his long-term girlfriend working there.
How do you go from serving someone a hot dog to I'd like a date? So I guess she would come pretty rig. Maybe he was giving her. I
think it's the phallic nature of the dog and the role.
I saw David Letterman doing it in the street in New York for his TV show, and he was getting very upset because over there, the hot dog
they slice it,
and then they hold it with their thumb. He goes, "Put the hot dog in, but don't touch it with your thumb." And they go, "Touch it with his thumb." He goes, "I don't want it. You touch it with your thumb because they have a bit of paper, don't they?"
Yeah.
And then they go, "And what else do they put it? They put onions on it. What else do they put on it?
Cheese.
That's cheese. Right." Repulsive. Ooh. I don't know. If anything's going to make you burp.
Hot dog.
It's a hot dog. And what is hot dog, by the way? It's awful,
pork.
Isn't it?
It's pork.
Pork awful. And it's red.
Mm.
Have we talked about this before?
No, it's a mixture. It's like a sausage, but it's from a German background. It's like a treated sausage, isn't it? A hot dog, a Frankfurter. Yeah.
And, of course, we call them little boys as well.
Little boys.
I mean, how come that's just...
Weird as that.
Weird as that. And you say it without even thinking about it, what it means.
Yeah, smaller.
Explain what it means.
Can I explain what little boy means?
Because I told you what we used to do. Look, I'll admit this is juvenile. I've said it before and I'll say it again. But if there was ever a sausage left on the barbecue, we would stand around in a circle and one of us would put one of the sausages out our fly. And if the dog, the Labrador, was around, the Labrador would come over and chew on the sausage. My father would laugh so much he'd fall off the chair. But you keep on talking while the dog was chewing on it.
Good times.
Good times. We had the music, haven't we?
We haven't had the topics, though.
Oh, we haven't had the topics. Okay.
Well, let's get the topics. Here we go.
Playboy magazine and Roald Dahl.
Two of my favourite literary things. Roald Dahl. Let's talk about Roald Dahl. I love Roald Dahl.
I love Roald Dahl.
What a genius.
One of the best books I ever read was Boy.
Oh, that's about his story, isn't it?
He was in the Second World War as a pilot.
Yeah, navigator and pilot, something like that.
I'm reading a book at the moment. I won't say by who because he's an Australian author. But it's like he's showing off with his detail.
Mm.
With someone like Roald Dahl gives real gravity with simplicity. You go, his execution of plot is so well done.
Yeah. Those Twisted Tales were good too, which are more adult ones, which are made into a TV series. A bit like Twilight Zone, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
They were good too.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Fantastic story.
Well, let's go through Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yep.
Fantastic. Great movie too.
We're talking about, let's go through some of the
Roald Dahl classics.
Matilda, of course.
Ah, Matilda. Well, I saw that musical. Oh, how funny is it?
Was done by the Australian guy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
My mate. Not Eddie Perfect. It's with the red hair.
With the piano players with no shoes on.
Yeah, that's him.
From Perth.
Yeah, he's from Perth. He went to WAP, whatever it's called, over there.
Very successful.
Tim Minchin. Let me tell you a story about Tim Minchin. Anyway, years ago I was doing this benefit at the concert hall. The only time I ever played the concert hall, they had some big... I don't know why I was on, but David Bridie, he's very attached to a musical world of the ear and jay.
So Brody was in a band.
He was in Not Drowning Waving, yeah.
Yeah.
And my friend
You're Jocko. Assuming everybody knows that just because you know it. But
yeah, and he does soundtrack stuff for movies and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he's a good guy. His kids went to the same school as mine, Geelong Grammar. And it's a state school. Anyway, so I used to see him at school pickup. And he'd go to the musical and go, "God, could they just tune their violins?" Yeah, he'd always say that.
He'd be going, "Yeah, I know.
I noticed that. I didn't notice it at all. I thought it sounded good." Anyway, so he... he was organised benefit, and I was on with Tim Minchin. And Tim,
you
Minchin,
were on with Tim Minchin.
Oh, I did stand up, and he did.
He played his piano.
Always good. And he came up to me after. He goes, "Do you remember me?" I'm like, "Yeah, you're Tim Minchin." He goes, "No, but do you remember you hosted my Raw comedy heat?" I went, "Oh, I do remember you." He goes, "Yeah, you told me I was funny." He goes, "I didn't get through the heat. I didn't get any laughs." But he said, "You took me aside at the end and said you're funny. You should keep going." Because he did a priest character.
Did you say that to everybody?
Yeah, just in case they became famous.
Let's cover your bets.
Listen, I've got to have a talk to you.
Cover your bets.
Yeah, I remember you did this priest character. It didn't get any laughs. I thought it was really funny.
Did he sing a song? Did he play the piano?
No. And I said
did
to
he
him,
have shoes on?
Yes.
Did he have mascara on?
Yeah, he was dressed up, though, as like a priest.
Was his hair a bit funny?
Yeah, he had all that going
so
on.
So the same thing was happening.
Yeah, and I said, I don't know, I reckon you're really funny. He goes, "Yeah, I play the piano and stuff." And I'm like, "Oh, you should do that. Why don't you do some of that?" He's actually guy basically kickstarted his career. Do you think so?
I think so. I think I haven't seen that when they do, you know, reviews for Matilda.
I don't see my name.
Protégé of Dave O'Neill.
Yeah. We went and saw Matilda with my daughter, who would have been about 10.
I heard it was very good.
For her birthday, she loved it, right? And the music is great and the story is great, but Roald Dahl is a little bit mean. So Matilda's quite nasty.
But that's why he's so good, isn't it? Because if just, everything's fluffy, it's not interesting.
Yeah, how funny. Just so Betty, my mother-in-law, came along and she laughs at anything. So if she was here now, she'd be pissing herself.
Right.
She would just be laughing at you or me, whatever.
Yeah.
She but starts she, off at the musical laughing a bit and then she just goes quiet. And Kira, my partner, goes, dark. Betty's gone quiet. She's gone quiet. She's not laughing.
It's too dark.
She said it was too mean. Because Matilda's like this child who's living with a mean uncle and auntie, getting very much abused by them and yelling and all that stuff. And the teacher gives her a really hard time. And Betty's like, I just wanted someone to hug her. So.
But yeah, you don't have a story unless someone's sort of...
I know. Anyway, Matilda, Charlie's Photograph Factory, great book. Great. That first movie's unbelievable, I reckon. It's a great movie.
Mr. Fox?
Oh, that's a great movie too. They made a movie of that. Fantastic. I've seen Mr. Fox.
It was a BFG. Big
Friendly Giant.
Big Friendly Giant.
Mm. He used to fart and call them pop-offs. I remember that.
Pop-offs.
Ah, James and the Giant Peach. Oh, another great book.
Are these books that you would have read to your kids?
No, look, I read them as a kid. I used to love Roald Dahl, but my kids have read them all.
Mm.
And now most of them they're all movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox is like an animation made by that trendy director. I can't remember his name. And it's really funny. It's really good.
You know, he wrote most of it in his shed.
Yeah, that's right. And you can go and visit that shed.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. One of my friends put on Facebook, they went to his hometown and you can go to his grave and you can go to his house and stuff.
I reckon that's where the Playboy comes into it.
Oh, he's out there in the
shed.
He's
down there looking at Playboy, saying that he was writing. He'd already written all the books.
Yeah. He wrote the books that year.
And he used to do it in pencil.
Oh, did he?
To write it, he used to write it longhand.
Hmm.
So in I guess like an exercise book or something. Because you would imagine that people would write it
on a typewriter.
On a typewriter.
That generation on a typewriter.
But a lot of people write longhand.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them do.
He was very prolific. Really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they're just the ones we can think of the top of our head. There's so many other.
It's like you.
Oh, I haven't written that many books.
Well, at least you've written a book. I haven't written any books.
Riled up.
Talked about it.
The Glass Elevator was another one. That was the second one after the Chocolate Factory. Didn't you want to go to a chocolate factory, though, after?
Isn't that what we were just saying before?
Yeah.
Would you really? You get
sick. I've been to a chocolate factory. It was awesome.
I went
to the Cadbury one. Oh, it was great.
Tasmania?
Went to the Tasmanian one and the Ringwood one. Tasmanian ones used to do tours. Yeah, I went on that. It was great.
And obviously at the end, you would have got some samples.
Yeah, she said, don't steal any of the stuff because we'll give you samples at the end. But the thing about the Tasmanian one, I said, I don't want to be, because everyone makes jokes about them looking like Oompa Loompas, right? And I said to the woman, I don't want to be rude, but a lot of these workers look the same. And she goes, yeah, they basically two families work here. She said, mostly they come from two or three families. Yeah. And then I said,
and they're all getting into the chocolate.
Yeah. And I said, so they got Fredo frogs with two heads down here, have they? Chopping. That didn't go down well. With the Tasmanians. But that was a great movie. And okay, here's a bit of trivia. Where was that movie filmed? Where do you
Which
reckon?
Which one? Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, Chocolate Factory, the original one in the 60s or the 70s with that great actor.
Okay, I'm going to. I reckon I've got it. Geelong.
Munich.
Munich. So I'm a bit way off there.
Because you look at it and you're like, that's not a set. Because it's in beautiful old cobblestones when, you know, old Charlie. What's the name? Charlie Bucket, is that his name? The main kid. There is that great meme of, you know how he used to remember how he used to live when he was a kid, and the sets of grandparents were in a double bed together.
I've never seen Chocolate Factory.
What? You've never seen Charlie's Chocolate Factory?
No.
It's a fun, but that came out when we were kids. That was a huge movie in the late 70s.
I'm going to see Surf Movie before.
Oh,
you've
seen Jaws, or
yeah,
you might have been a bit old for it, maybe. Because I reckon.
I know my stepdaughter loves, that's her favourite film.
Oh, it's a great movie.
And it's a play at the moment, isn't it?
Yes,
in Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. I haven't seen that, but it's a great movie.
Did Roald Dahl have something to do with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? I think he did.
Oh, you.
Because he was good mates with, I could be wrong about
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Ian Fleming?
Oh, Ian Fleming, yeah, right. That was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, yeah.
They were good mates, and I think he might have done the screenplay.
Oh, he probably could have.
I remember saying Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, you pretty Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I love you.
Yeah.
The Child Catcher. Oh,
that's right. Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
With a flying car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a bad accent.
I think that was his first venture into screenplays from...
Roald Dahl.
I think so.
Possibly.
Because I don't think he liked his movies. He used to hate... He didn't like watching them. No. No. There would have been different versions of his movies, surely.
Yeah, there's been a remake of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp playing Willy Wonka.
Who's left that? Did he? Oh, am I remembering this right? Did he have a mistress?
No, probably.
And then Sophie Dahl. Who's that?
That's his daughter.
She must be worth a lot of money.
Oh, so much money. And she was a model.
What? Yes.
Wasn't he a model or an actress? Hmm. Yeah, his estate would be worth, because those books are still. You see them around a
lot. He was
a
bit of a grump, apparently.
Yeah, Quentin Blake, who did all the drawings. So you know the classic Roald Dahl books.
Oh, the drawings are fantastic.
Yeah, that's Quentin Blake.
Right.
Who's still alive. Right. And he said, yeah, Roald Dahl had a nasty streak to him.
I reckon there's a lot of people have actually copied his style of drawing. It's a very simple.
Often those kids draw authors, like Ina Blyton, a bit mean to her own children. She used to sit there smoking, and she was not, all the kids always said she wasn't a good mother. In the blind.
But what's interesting is that they're bringing that side of themselves out, which also means that they're getting in. That's probably why they're good writers, because they're sort of like answering that dastardly voice in their head. Are they giving it voice? What's the worst thing could happen? Or this person gets gobbled up by a dragon. And also, it's in the story, you know.
Can't believe you haven't seen Charlie and the Soccer Factory. Well, so you had never seen Veruca Salt. I want it, and I want it now.
One of those things that's probably been on, and I've been wondering.
And Augustus Gloop? Yeah. Oh.
What were the Oompa Loompas in?
Oompa Loompa.
No, you know why I didn't know why I remember seeing it? I'll be honest with you. It spooked me.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit freaky.
The Oompa Loompas, as did Wizard of Oz, spooked me.
Yeah, they had dwarves in it. That must be the dwarves.
I think it's something dwarf, about the... I remember seeing Oompa. I remember Loompa, going, oh, this is making me feel weird.
Yeah, so they were the... Originally in the first book, they were African pygmies that Willy Wonka transported. Slaves, basically. And they had a good life in the chocolate factory. And then they changed that later in later editions because it became very un-PC to have African pygmies working in your factory.
Yeah.
So they were just called Oompa Loompas. I don't know where they came from. But in the movie, they were dwarves with paint on them, you know, makeup, and they would just sing songs. And.
But when you go down the beach and you see a fat kid who's sunburnt, you...
Yeah, Oompa Loompa.
Look at those Oompa Loompas over there.
It is a great catchphrase.
It is. Know.
He's come up with some lasting...
Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa. Willy Wonka is a great,
yes.
Like we just read out their Facebook post, like the person saying, "I finally met Willy Wonka."
Mm.
And there's nothing, you know, when you go to a large company and the CEO gets up, you go, "All right, Willy Wonka, wind it up," you know.
Who was Willy Wonka? Gene Wilder.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, the
fantastic. He was unbelievable.
Okay,
and it's quite mean because he's trying to find an heir for his chocolate factory,
right?
So he had to win a golden ticket, right, in the chocolate bar. And Charlie, who was from a very poor. As someone pointed out in a meme, his grandparents slept in a double bed. They couldn't move. But then as soon as chocolate was mentioned, one of the granddads got up and started dancing and said, "I'll come to the tour of the factory."
Right.
and so he eventually became the heir to the chocolate throne, Charlie. Because and basically, though, Willy Wonka would kill off the kid. Or not kill him off, but get rid of them throughout the story.
Do you?
Yeah. Chuck them down
Your mother-in-law was getting upset.
Yeah. Well, that's Matilda. Matilda.
But still, she's you know, she's a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Roald Dahl, no.
Where was he from? He was Norwegian, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, but lived in England, yeah.
So what would his period be? Because I'm just comparing this to Playboy. He would have been...
So he was in the war in his 20s.
Yeah, so he would have been...
50s and 60s.
Yeah.
He was writing, 50s, 60s and 70s.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about Playboy, because that sort of was when Playboy was at its absolute peak.
Yeah, that's right.
The 60s and the 70s.
What was it? What would have started late 50s, Playboy?
Yeah, I reckon.
Marilyn Monroe was one of the first on. Was the first on the cover?
I don't think so.
And she did a nude. Would have done an. I remember they used to. How objectifying was it? There would be a woman in there, and she would fold out.
Centerfold. Yeah, the centerfold. Don't worry, Ida Buttrose had a male centerfold in Clio magazine. Remember?
What was the joke? Jack Thompson. Some guys were worried about where they were going to put the staple.
Yeah, with the staples. Yeah, Playboy. I mean, there was no, as a young man, no greater joy than finding an old Playboy by the railway track.
You know? Well, my brother used to have some under the house.
Oh, my dad had some in his wardrobe, which he had to buy for the guys at the Air Force Base. Apparently, they couldn't get any, so he had to buy them for them.
So he stockpiled for them.
Yeah, there was some sort of period of time there, though, where they just sat in the wardrobe.
Because I used to...
Playboy was kind of, in terms of those porno magazines, was a little bit tame, really.
Yeah, because Penthouse was the one that...
Penthouse was the
because full, they would full. Show... It would just show... Yeah. Whereas Penthouse would show...
Yeah, really graphic. Well, let's just say graphic. It was quite graphic, Penthouse. Yes,
we don't need to go into the
whereas
detail.
Playboy was more... They were naked, but...
A lot of airbrushing. And but there's no doubt they were objectifying women. It's still... But it would be probably for our generation, it may have been the besides National Geographic. Because we lived in a time before internet. It would have been probably the first naked women we ever saw. That was our sexual education.
Definitely.
To a point.
Yeah, there was
occasional... And it was a distorting one because... That was not real.
They always had luscious hair, didn't they, in Playboy? They had
lovely hair.
They're beautiful hair.
Yeah.
They're very made up. Yeah. They looked sort of fake in a way, didn't they, really?
That would have been the era of the fan, too, the hair blowing and blowing in the wind and stuff.
There was no amateur Playboy, you know what I mean?
Like what's the name, girls, would they call that?
Homegirls. Homegirls. Yeah, so like in your Picture magazine or your Zoo Weekly where you're just...
Well, a lot of...
You're working your price on, then you're getting your gear off in the park and you're taking a photo and sending it in.
aspired to being a centrefold. Who did it in Australia? Danny Minogue?
Oh, Al? Was Al in Playboy?
Well, that's a good question. I'll just have to check my collection of...
Bindi Irwin? Bindi Irwin was
she
in...
She did not.
Yeah, she was in Playboy.
No.
Yeah.
How old's Bindi now?
Well, she'd be 40s, wouldn't she?
Bindi?
Sorry. Bindi Paxton. Not Bindi. Oh, that's a terrible mistake to make. Bindi Paxton. Remember the Paxton family?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes.
Remember the Paxton family? Wow, so, oh, my mistake. God. Oh, phew.
Whew. Breaking out the sweat there. Whew.
So, it's just, sorry, it's the first name. Bindi. So, the Paxtons were a group of unemployed kids, I think from the western suburbs of Melbourne, and they were much maligned on the Ray Martin show. It must have been Current Affair.
It was for not working for the Dole or something.
Yeah,
not getting a job, and I couldn't be bothered.
And then they took them up to a resort in Queensland and got them a job. They didn't even want the job. They didn't want the job there.
Yeah.
And then Bindi, I'm sure it was Bindi Paxton. Yeah, it was Bindi Paxton. And then she did a nude Playboy. No, it wasn't Bindi Irwin.
If we Google Bindi Paxton nude, I don't like what we'll see.
Yeah, we don't actually see. She had sort of a punk look, kind of, a bit alternative.
Not good.
Kind of look.
So, what was that? Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Cartoonist, wasn't he?
Oh, was he a cartoonist?
Yeah, that's what he... don't know whether... Because some of the cartoons in Playboy were very good.
Oh, funny.
As were the articles. But some of the cartoons...
That's why I used to buy it.
I think it was Garn Wilson or Gayan Wilson.
That's my granddad. He used to buy Truth newspaper every week for the Racing Guide.
For the Racing Guide, yeah.
Was it for Heart Balm or the Page Three Girls? Can you remember Heart Balm was like a version of the Penthouse Letters?
As in, what do I do?
Oh, no. It's their stories of sexual conquest. So
yeah,
the classic one was, I was singing at home,
and
then I heard a noise at the front, and the Swedish water polo team had broken down their minibus. So they wanted to come in and use the shower. I said, sure.
Little did I know. And all I can say is, it's the how you say something in Sweden, Swedish.
Next thing you know, but Heart Balm was like a low-rate version of that. Like, I was at Kmart, and... You know, the checkout girl asked for a lift home, and then we were making love. And
I must admit, we had a beach house which didn't have a television. We used to go surfing down there on the weekends, and we would throw in a pile of penthouse and read the letters out.
The letters are funny.
The letters,
Are they still?
I was working at the bakery late at night.
Apparently, Heart Balm at Truth Summertime was just some old fat guy writing, typing them
out. Of course, we used to write our own penthouse letters. Did Hugh Hefner used to wear his pajamas a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, and people talk about the grotto. So in the mansion, there's a grotto and there's a spa, and people always make jokes about what sort of diseases are floating around in that spa.
Because there was a time when it was, if you got invited to the Playboy Mansion, it was a big deal. But it became pretty gross and tacky pretty quickly, didn't it? Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think he might be. Yeah.
And his daughter took over, didn't she?
Yeah. I think, and they had Playboy clubs too. We didn't have.
Oh, you've ever watched the old Playboy TV show?
No.
It was kind of like they would have a bit of jazz music playing and just have a whole lot of people standing around drinking cocktails.
Oh, really?
And it would be just people wandering around. And then they'd have like Lenny Bruce come in and do a bit of...
Yeah, well, they used to stand up at them.
Play. Yeah, yeah. So and then they had the penthouse. Then they had the Playboy clubs, which were the bunnies and the bunny ears.
Deborah Harry was a Playboy bunny. Yeah,
and I imagine they probably still exist, don't they?
I think maybe a few in America,
but again,
they went through a real period. But that was a real period where men would just go out with other men, like Freemasons or something. You know what I mean? In the 60s, they'd go. I don't think, and then they used to have comedy and bands and stuff. But a lot of comedy when you read the old history books. My mum used to work in a newsagents in Box Hill, she would bring home all the magazines that they would throw out. So they'd rip the label off and send them back to the publisher.
Yeah.
And then they'd keep the magazines. And she used to bring home Playboy occasionally.
And she must have done. She had three boys.
Four boys. So there'd be like, Australia Post, very tame magazine.
But still. There's still.
Girls in bikinis in there.
Yeah.
There'd be other magazines like, electronic magazine, a car magazine. There'd be Playboy. Pretty exciting. My wife always found it very disturbing that my mother would bring home Playboy magazines for her teenage sons.
Well, she probably didn't think about it. Maybe she never opened one. Maybe she never knew.
Yeah, maybe she thought it was like just a nice magazine.
There was the American Playboy, which was bigger and thicker.
And then there was the Australian Playboy. Australian,
which was pretty thin.
Because
I worked at a gym where the girl on the front desk went
in Playboy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't reckon that one didn't. Well, okay, well, that would get gross. You? But, well, you'd have to.
You'd have a look. I mean, I met.
Whenever you got your locker key passed over the next time, it was a weird vibe.
Yeah. I met a woman the other night and she said she was a Big M girl.
Oh, yes.
And a Carlton Bluebird.
Well, that's the.
Remember, that's a double whammy in Melbourne. So the Carlton Bluebird was like a cheer squad. Cheerleaders.
But the Big M girl was the ultimate.
Big M girl was the ultimate job.
That was the ultimate. And that meant that you were in posters and in ads jumping around drinking chocolate milk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
in bikinis. They were always.
And
bikinis.
It was like.
At the beach. In a panel van.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what's going to say about Playboy magazine. I buy for the articles.
Yep.
And
but I don't think there's nudes in it anymore.
You say, is that true? Well, that's interesting.
I would be interested. So therefore it's become a sophisticated interview magazine, not unlike New Yorker.
Oh, I'm going to go and buy a copy now. Sell it at 7-Eleven. Research purposes.
Is that how men used to buy them? They would buy the paper and then they would put slip it in the Playboy in the... And then they go up to the counter and they'd have the embarrassing moment where they would have to go...
Oh, that's there too. Okay, all right.
Tony, how much is this month's Playboy? $5.60 for the Playboy.
Well, my mum always made the point that she worked in a newsagent in Box Hill for a long time because Uncle Peter and Coral had it. Marty Coral. And she made the point that they sold a lot of dirty magazines, she used to call them, in Box Hill because there were a lot of flats. So she believed it was men living in flats who bought dirty magazines.
What was the... Oh, Zoo Magazine was the... Which is finally...
Yeah, and People... Well, no, it went Picture and People Magazine in the 80s and 90s and then Zoo Magazine.
Yeah.
And then there was all those Loaded, those lads magazines. Oh, like Loaded and Ralph and FHM. And, hardly any of them around anymore.
There was a real period where they were all, that would have been 90s, early 90s.
2000,
And they did very well, didn't they?
Yeah, and Zoo Magazine was around for ages. Go get us a Zoo Magazine, couple of dimmies, mate.
You'd see tradies eating their Chico roll, can of Coke, and
they're not around anymore though. I don't think they're not Zoo's.
Now they're just clicking on their phone.
On their phone. Sort of thing.
Do you know the story about? I know actually. I'll tell the story. It's a great story about John Lennon, but I might tell it later on.
Oh, yeah. Something to look forward to. Let's have some thinking music.
What do we got? We got Roald Dahl. How about we have a Roald Dahl poem or something? I'm sure there's some stuff on YouTube.
Oh, great.
Because he's done poetry, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, I don't know, Sam, see if you can find a Roald Dahl poem. Where we go?
The Dentist and the Crocodile. By Roald Dahl. The crocodile with cunning smile sat in the dentist's chair. He said, "Right here and everywhere, my teeth require repair." The dentist's face was turning white. He quivered, quaked, and shook. He muttered, "I suppose I'm going to have to take a look." I want you, Crocodile declared, to do the back ones first. The molars at the very back are easily the worst. He opened wide his massive jaws. It was a fearsome sight. At least 300 pointed teeth, all sharp and shining white. The dentist kept himself well clear. He stood 2 yards away. He chose the longest probe he had to search out the decay. I said, do the back ones first, the crocodile called out. You're much too far away, dear sir, to see what you're about. To do the back ones properly, you've got to put your head deep down inside my great big mouth, the grinning crocky said. The poor old dentist wrung his hands and weeping in despair, he cried, no, no, I see them all extremely well from here. Just then in burst a lady, in her hands a golden chain. She cried, oh, croc, you naughty boy, you're playing tricks again. Watch out, the dentist shrieked and started climbing up the wall. He's after me, he's after you, he's going to eat us all. Don't be a twit, the lady said and flashed a gorgeous smile. He's harmless, he's my little pet, my lovely crocodile.
Oh, that was good. Good old Roald Dahl. Well, I'll have a crack. I reckon Roald Dahl was one of the first investors in Playboy magazine. I reckon he got in early.
Invested. That's good, not dislike our mate, the Top Gear guy. Didn't he invest in
Paddington?
Paddington
Bear. Parents did.
I am going to say that Roald Dahl, because he does nasty characters, he based one of his characters on Hugh Hefner.
Oh.
Maybe he gave him a different name. Maybe Mr.
Maybe it's Fantastic Mr. Fox is about old Foxy Hefner.
Yeah, maybe just when that's the sort of guy who's nasty. I'm going to use him in one of my stories. Anyway.
What is it, Sam?
Between 1965 and 1974, Playboy magazine published short stories by author Roald Dahl that later became the book titled Switch Bitch. In each story, there's a large act of cunning cruelty or heat and ISM underpinning the sexuality of the stories. Alfred Hitchcock was a fan of one, but there are many willing critics of Roald Dahl's work that appeared in Playboy magazine decades ago.
Oh.
Good on you, Roald.
I didn't know
it would have been him having to turn, you've got to turn your hand. It's like doing an ad now. You go, you're sold out, but I've got to pay the rent.
Yeah, he probably wrote the penthouse letters too. He probably wrote Heart Balm in Truth, mate, in Truth newspaper.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
It's probably a bad gig, wouldn't it?
He's probably in charge of the Page 3 girls. Nah, you're all right. Okay, you can go. All right, lose the top. Let's have a look. Imagine that show. The Truth newspaper.
What's his name, did... I mean, he would maintain he had quality articles and quality interviews. It was very highbrow to be interviewed by
Playboy magazine.
Playboy magazine. So it would be right that, you know, a quality magazine has... And it would be fiction. I don't think he'd be doing anything.
No, he wouldn't be interviewing...
No.
George he'd be just Bush telling what it'd be...
Because he has real mystique and fear in a lot of the stuff he does.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it would be a good thing. Well, good on him. But that's interesting.
Well, that is an interesting fact. To bring up a dinner party. Now, what's your John Lennon story?
Oh, because what happened was John Lennon broke up with Yoko and he went, I'm getting this right, he went to a party at the Playboy Mansion.
Did he? John Lennon at the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, and because he was single, was a bit sad and sorry, got drunk, and Hugh Hefner had a Matisse original.
A Matisse.
He's dragged on the cigarette and butted it out into the Matisse. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting because it's John Lennon. Would it actually be detrimental to the?
Oh, added value. That cigarette mark was put in by John Lennon.
Yeah,
I mean, that'd be a great talking point.
Great. I mean,
Sorry. How's he speak? He's like a Liverpudlian, isn't he? Sorry about that, Hugh.
Yeah.
The cigarette out. I'll sing a song for you. When I get older.
So imagine that.
Imagine owning that Matisse where John Lennon butted the cigarette out on. That would add value. That's value
added. I don't think it would. What's a Matisse worth? Worth 50, 40, 50 million? I'm making that up. But it's a Matisse has to be worth a lot of money.
Wow.
Original Matisse.
I've got a Ken Dome tea towel where Brian Mannix weed on. Is that the same?
It's very similar.
Classic.